This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. So in the late 1990s, the famous pastor and preacher Billy Graham gave something that is known as a TED Talk. Now, TED Talks, if you're not familiar with them, are short talks given to an audience of people, and these talks often go online where millions of people watch them. All the talks are about something different, but often they have to do with technology or science or psychology, something for people to be able to improve their lives. And Billy Graham, a preacher who had often preached in churches and Christians, found himself a bit out of place, like a fish out of water, amongst all of these technological thinkers of his day. And he wondered what he could offer people who were into computer science, who were developing technology. What words could he offer them that might be meaningful for them? If you ever listen to the talk, it's actually very inspiring because Billy Graham talks about the things that are important that maybe we don't realize today with our modern conveniences. Billy Graham rightly points out all the technological advances that his audience has been a part of, all the ways that things have changed within his lifetime. All the modern conveniences, all the ways that life becomes so much more accessible and easier, the way people are able to be treated in their bodies and be healthier and stronger, the way that we are able to transport ourselves across the world like never before. But Billy Graham also points out that all of these technological advances have not been able to solve the problems of the soul. Problems like war and loneliness and violence, problems like hatred and bitterness and division, that if anything, these problems have not gotten better, but seemingly they have gotten worse. Billy Graham lifts up a point that while on the outside, many of our lives have gotten better and better and better, on the inside, people's lives, their souls, if you will, feel like they are declining. I think that's something that we all struggle with in our modern world. It seems like that we have everything at our fingertips. Everything that we need and we desire, we can get. That we live in such a way that kings 1,000 years ago would envy our lifestyles. And yet, many people still struggle with these things like loneliness and anger and sadness. Many people are separated and isolated from the things in life that really matter. And so in the midst of our busy lives, in the midst of our convenient and seemingly on the outside good lives, we wonder how we might have more peace and purpose and fulfillment. Well, that's the beauty of the scripture reading. Sometimes when we look at a particular passage, we realize that Jesus makes it quite simple. Jesus makes it quite plain and clear how we can lead lives of greater peace and purpose. And so what I'd like to do today is lead you through this scripture reading and show you how it reveals three things that you can do every single day of your life. Three things that cost you no money, but three things that you can do every single day of your life that will ultimately help you feel more grounded, help you feel closer to Christ, and live the life that he calls you to live. Our scripture reading today opens with Jesus traveling. And the scripture reading says that he was traveling through the region between Samaria and Galilee. Now, if you were to look at a map, the region between Samaria and Galilee is a remote, desolate place. A place where very few people live, except a particular group of people, a people known as lepers. Now, thankfully, leprosy is not a disease that affects us in our daily lives today, but that was not so in Jesus' case. See, leprosy was a terrible, terrible illness that would infect people's skin, cause them to lose fingers and toes, and most of all, cause them to lose their friends and their family. You see, because lepers were so contagious with their disease, the moment that someone was diagnosed with leprosy, they had to leave their family. They had to leave their friends. They had to leave their towns. They had to live outside of the town, outside of whatever village they grew up in, and move into what is known as a leper colony, meaning they lived in a small colony of only other lepers. And if anyone came near them that did not have leprosy, they immediately had to yell, "Unclean, unclean." They had to warn the healthy person that a sick person was near. They lived in isolation. They tried to grow some crops. They tried to live as best they could, but they were not only sick in their bodies, but they were also sick in their souls because they missed the things that had made their life matter, had made their life important. They had missed their friends and their family and their home. And the saddest part about it was there was no known cure to this disease until Jesus arrives on the scene. The scripture says, as he entered this village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance because they were afraid to get Jesus sick. And one of them called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." Now, what's interesting about this scripture reading is they knew who Jesus was. They had heard Jesus had been able to cure people of diseases to which there was no known cure, and they yelled from a distance, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And what does Jesus do? Does Jesus wave a magic wand? Does Jesus do anything spectacular? No, he simply says, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And the priests were the only authority in Jesus' day who could diagnose whether someone was truly healed of leprosy. And I imagine there was a moment in these lepers' heads where they thought to themselves, "That's it? Go and show ourselves to the priests? I mean, we have leprosy, for goodness sakes. Aren't you going to do something?" I heard one story about a person who was blind and you spit in the mud and rubbed it on their eyes. Can't you rub it on some of our sores? Simply just saying, "Go and show yourself to the priests," you haven't done anything yet. But they went. They went and they showed themselves to the priest. And because they went and because they listened to Jesus, they were healed. This is the first part of our lesson, the three things that we should do every single day of our life. The first part is to obey. You see, all of us have moments in our life where we feel like God is pulling us in a certain direction, that God is calling us to do something, go somewhere, be something to someone. Part of us is worried and holds back and wonders, "Really, God? Are you sure? That's how you want to do it? You don't have a different plan? I'm not really sure I'm cut out for this." I remember when I was a kid, one of the things I loved doing growing up was playing sports. But as I got into my junior high years, I started to become fascinated with theater and singing and performing. But it was a big transition for me because really I'd never done anything like this. I never performed in any sort of play. I'd never been in any sort of choir before, but I was fascinated, intrigued. I didn't know if I could sing. I didn't know if I could act. I didn't know if I could do any of these things. And so one day I worked myself up to have the courage to try out for the school play. And so after I was super nervous, I showed up the first day and I thought to myself, "Okay, I'm going to give it a shot." When I got there, I realized that I didn't have the permission slip that I needed in order to participate in this school play. And there, the person said, "Well, I'm sorry, you cannot audition if you don't have the permission slip." But fortunately for me, I live right across the street from the school. So I immediately ran out the door and I started running home. And there was a moment in my mind where I thought to myself, you know what, this is stupid. This is silly. What am I doing? I mean, I don't really need to do this. I mean, I don't really think or know if I'm any good at this. I don't even know if my friends or other people are going to laugh at me if I participate in something like this. And there was a moment there where I almost just went home and stayed home. That I didn't turn around and go back to the school, that I just stayed at my house. But I thought, you know what? I feel like this is something I'm being pulled towards. Well, long story short, I did go back and get that permission slip, and I did get in the school play. And one of the things that I'm really convinced about that God used in my life was this idea of performing when I was young in these school plays and school choirs, giving me different lines and little solos to sing, because one of the things that it did is it got me over my stage fright. It got me over my stage fright of being in front of people so that when God called me to be a pastor, while I still have a lot to learn, and in many ways I still do have a lot to learn, one of the things I've never been nervous about is by speaking in front of different people. See, I feel like God was pulling me in that moment to try something new, to do something different, because he was going to bless me in a way that I didn't fully understand or see. And that's what happens in our scripture reading today. These lepers, I'm sure, did not understand what Jesus was up to. These lepers didn't understand what kind of treatment it is to simply say, go and see the priest. But they went anyway because they understand the importance of obedience. That if we want to maximize God's blessings in our life, that we have to obey. Put it a different way. Imagine if you are a receiver on a football team. And your quarterback tells you to run a specific route. For example, he says, go and run 7 steps, turn around, and I will throw you the ball. But as you're running, you think to yourself, you know what? 7 steps, that doesn't seem like enough. I'm going to keep running a little bit further, a little bit longer. I'm going to run 20 steps. And then you turn around and you realize the ball isn't there. Now, whose fault is that? Is that the quarterback's or the receiver's? You see, the quarterback gave clear instructions to the receiver to run 7 steps and turn around, and yet the receiver went his own way. See, in many ways, I think that's what we do in our daily life. I think we feel like God is pushing us or calling us to do something, to say something, to be something, and we think to ourselves, okay, but let me put a little twist on it. Okay, but let me do that after I do that. No. God simply wants us to obey. That's the first thing. And as we continue on our scripture reading, we see after they are healed, one of them, one out of the 10 that were healed, turned back and praises God with a loud voice and throws himself at Jesus' feet and thanks him. Jesus then says, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Jesus points out that 10 people were healed and 1 people came back. And Jesus asked, where are the other 9? Now, why does Jesus ask this? Does Jesus ask this because he feels like he needs to be thanked? That Jesus is the type of person who always needs to be thanked, and if you don't thank Jesus, he's angry at you? No. He understands that in order to truly appreciate and receive the blessing that God has given us, we have to be grateful. We have to thank God for our blessings. See, the second part is to be filled with gratitude, to be a person of gratitude. Obey and be grateful. And being grateful is about completing the blessing. You see, gratitude is not something that comes easy to us. What comes easy to us is desire. You see, when my kids have a present placed in front of them, I don't need to tell them to remember to open the present. The thing that I need to tell them sometimes is to say thank you. Because gratitude does not come naturally. But gratitude is important. We recognize that when our children receive gifts, the gift exchange is not complete until that person says thank you. See, in order to fully realize and fully appreciate our blessings, we have to be grateful before we ask for more blessings. Because the truth of the matter is, we are so blessed in so many ways, we don't fully appreciate or understand. And just one of those ways, I'll give you an example, is water. That a third of the world lives without clean water. A third of the world does not have access to clean water. Yet what do? If we want water, we simply walk over to a faucet and turn it on. If we want to take a shower or a bath, we simply turn on the faucet. When we give this life-saving gift to ourselves, we do not give a second thought of where it comes from. We simply think water is there. But we must count our blessings. We must be grateful, because to be grateful means to complete the blessing. It means not only to receive the blessing, but it means to appreciate the blessing as well. The third and final thing that Jesus calls us to do is to give. Obey, be grateful, and give. Jesus tells the man after he is healed, "Go up and go on your way." Do you think this man changed the way that he treated people? Do you think this man changed the way that he lived his life after he was healed of this disease, which he thought there was no known cure? I do. After he accepted this blessing, after he expressed his gratitude, I believe that he showed his gratitude every single day of his life by giving to others. He realized that Jesus gave him the greatest gift he could ever receive by being healed. And so when people asked other things of him, I'm sure he was more than willing to give in return. Do you have that same spirit of giving, that same spirit of generosity in your heart? Right now, this month at Grace Lutheran Church, we are in the midst of our stewardship month. It's the one month out of the year where we talk about why our giving matters. And giving is not just about supporting the ministries of the church. Giving is also about expressing your thanks to God. It's a way that you say that, God, like the leper, you have given me more than I could ever have and be. And so I will look for opportunities to give my resources and my time to be a blessing to others, because you have blessed me first. So each and every day, live your life by obeying, being grateful, and giving. If you put those things into practice every single day of your life, I promise you it will transform not only your life, but also your heart and all those around you. So obey, be grateful, and give. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder of what it means to be a follower of you. Help us be obedient to your word. Help us be grateful for the ways that you bless us, and help us give to those around us. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at @GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.